All right, once you kind of get your positions again, I'll ask you if you want to stand up, and we could sing another verse of that song, I'm Pressing On the Upward Way. How about, let's see. Next verse goes something like, I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I think that's pretty close. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, we'll take a few minutes to look into the Word of God again together tonight. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 2 for a bit. And I told the children if they want a piece of candy, they can come and tell me something they talked about last night. If you're not afraid to come and tell me something you heard last night, I'm not afraid to give you a piece of candy. So that's open for anybody. So we talked about a trustworthy message last night. How can I know what to believe? And tonight we want to talk about a genuine faith. A genuine faith. A question that's just as legitimate to ask as who can I believe? It's just as legitimate to say, can I trust myself? Can I trust myself? Am I trustworthy? Am I genuine? And so we're going to take a peek into 1 John chapter 2 tonight. Verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Here's that word, that dirty little three-letter word that we don't use in our world today very much. Because in our world today, we believe that people have sicknesses. They have problems that they can't deal with, and so they should have medication. And the idea of sin is something that is foreign to our American culture. But actually, the fact of sin is not. And I just want to remind you that the problems we have in the world is not sickness, but the problems we have in the world is sin. And even for the child of God who has received Christ as their Savior, still lives in a physical body with regular temptations. And in spite of our best intentions, there are still times when we fall into sin. And the Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In other words, He is one who pleads our cause before His Father. So when Ken does something wrong, Ken has a bad attitude, he has a bad thought, he says a bad word, then Jesus is standing before the Heavenly Father. And maybe I should say this first of all, the Holy Spirit is present in my life. And He reminds me that that was not appropriate. That's not fitting for a child of God. And He calls me to the place of repentance. But I have in my Heavenly Father, in the presence of God the Father, Jesus there saying, listen, remember, I died for Ken. I died for the things that he did wrong. Please forgive him for my name's sake. So Jesus is pleading our case with God the Father. It says in verse 2, He's the propitiation for our sins. That is, He's the satisfaction for our sins. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it's not just for believers. But Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient for everybody in Shenandoah. Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient for everybody in Pennsylvania and United States and in the whole world. And so God longs for people to be coming to Him for repentance. I wonder how many of you have a book similar to this in your car. You have something like this in your glove box? What's it for? Take up space? How many of you read this book? Nobody read their owner's manual. Wow! I didn't either. So what good is it? This is from the manufacturer, isn't it? But I don't think it's fair that when I took my good hard-earned money and I bought a vehicle, that there should be a rule book that tells me how I need to use my vehicle. I paid for it. It's mine. Nobody should be able to. I'm an adult. I have an adult driver's license. Nobody should have to tell me how to use my car. Does anybody have the right to tell me how to use my car? People look at rules as a problem. I don't have to listen to anybody. I'm my own man. I don't want to listen to mom, and I don't want to listen to dad, and I don't want to listen to my teacher. Are rules to ruin life? What do you think? Are rules to ruin life and keep you from having fun?
No.
Actually, this owner's manual is not to keep me from enjoying my car. And I could say, I don't care what this manual says. Gas is expensive and it stinks. And I can put water in my fuel tank and it's a whole lot cheaper and it's clean. Will my car work? You don't think it's going to work? I might actually ruin some parts of my car. Is that true? Yeah. It will not run. It will not function properly because I'm not obeying the rules. What a dumb rule. Is that a dumb rule? No, it's not a dumb rule. The reason there's directions in this book is so that we can get the maximum enjoyment out of our vehicle. It's not to keep us from having fun, but it's so that it will work as it's supposed to for a very long time. If we follow the directions in the book, we can really enjoy our vehicle for a long time. Talk to the children about a God that made the bees in a very special way. And He has made us in a special way too. And He's given us an owner's manual. And it tells us about life and how to live life. And this is not to keep you from having fun. This isn't to spoil your life. It's not to take all the fun out of life. But it is so that you can enjoy life and all of the best if you follow God's rules. God knows how we work as people. And He knows what ruins us as people. And God wants us to experience the best in life. And so it says here in verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And you're going to find out as we go through the book of 1 John that we find out things that we know. Things that you can be sure of. In a world that is so uncertain about so many things, 1 John is full of things that are certain. And John says here, this is how you can know that you know God, that you have a relationship with Him like we talked about last night. We're in fellowship with Him. And the way that we know Him is if we're following not our car owner's manual, But the owner's manual here, it says, if we keep his commandments, God's commandments are not grievous. In other words, they don't make us sorrowful. They're not difficult, but they actually bring lots of joy. And so notice what he says here in verse 4. He that says, I know him, or I know God, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So can I be a Christian and ignore this book? What do you think? Can I be a Christian? Can I be a follower of Jesus and ignore this book? You don't think so? What do you think? No. That's exactly what the Bible says. If you profess to follow God, then this book needs to be a part of your life. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now let's watch what he says here as we read a little further. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keeps God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. What is perfect love? What is perfected love? Well, let's think back again to what we talked about last night with forgiveness. Remember, we said that forgiveness is someone taking the cost of another person's wrong on themselves. And that's what God did for us as sinners, as people that break his laws. God took the punishment for our sin upon himself with Jesus on the cross. That is a very special kind of love, that somebody would love those who do things against them. But that's exactly what God has done. And now we're talking about perfected love or completed love. And I'm suggesting to you that perfected love is love that makes a full circle and comes back around. So I have received God's love and forgiveness. Now, to complete that circle, that means that as a professing child of God, then I should be passing on that same kind of love and forgiveness to other people. What do you find to be the most difficult thing in life? Is it circumstances or is it people? What do you find to be the most challenging? And I want to give you the answer, because I think it's the same for everybody here. People are more difficult than circumstances. And I'm imagining that all of you can think of someone who has hurt you in the past. In a similar way to the way that you have done things in disobedience and against God before you were a child of God, there are people in your life that act the same way towards you. And that is painful. And I remember in my own life quite a few years ago when one of my friends said and did some things against me that were so painful, I honestly thought there would never be a reason to smile again. And when I say that, I'm guessing there are some of you that are sitting here that know exactly what I'm talking about. When you have been hurt by someone so bad, whom you trusted, whom you thought was your friend, maybe it was somebody in your family, you know what it is to be hurt by those you care about. And God is talking to us about perfected love. Now, the question is, do I have a genuine faith? Is God's work in my life the real thing? Can I trust myself? Well, I don't know that our trust should be in ourselves, but if I have a genuine faith, if I have received God's love in my heart and his forgiveness of sins, then God's call to me is to reciprocate that, to complete the circle, that I pass on love and forgiveness to others just like I have received from him. Verse 6, he that says he abides in God or in Jesus ought himself also so to walk even as Jesus walked. Or you should live in the same way that Jesus lived. Do you remember what happened before Jesus was crucified? Remember what they did to him? Do you guys know? What did they do to Jesus before they crucified him? Who knows? Who knows? What did they do to Jesus before they crucified him? Who can help me? They put a crown of thorns on his head. What do you think that felt like? Pretty bad. Yeah, terrible thing to do. What else did they do? Anybody else know what else they did to him? Jesus did. You say he fell on his face. But he spit on his face. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm half deaf. You have to talk loud. I'm sorry. I didn't understand you. Yeah, they spit on his face. Did anybody ever spit on you? That is so disgusting. I remember years ago we were picking up children for Bible school, and I was sitting beside a boy in the front seat who was very rambunctious, and he said, "You're despicable." And every time he'd say, "You're despicable," he would spit on me when he did it. Disgusting. That's a child. But to have an adult do that to you, it's horrible. And yet Jesus wanted to forgive. He was willing to forgive those kind of actions. They did something else. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They did some other things too. Remember what else they did? It says they buffeted him. You know what that means, to be buffeted? If somebody buffeted you, what would they do? You think they would use this? How would you like this? That's what that means in the Bible. So it says they buffeted him. They punched him in the face. A terrible thing. And yet Jesus forgave them for what he did. Whoso keeps, let's see, where are we at? He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. Do you think you could forgive somebody that was physically mean to you? Perhaps some of you have been physically abused. That's a very real possibility. And that's a terrible thing. Do you think you could forgive? Do you think you could forgive somebody who says cruel words to you? Verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." So this is not a new idea. And then in verse 8 he says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." So it's an old idea with a new twist to it. And we have known from the beginning that God wants us to love our enemies. Verse 9, "He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now." Remember the paper I had last night? The difference between the light and the darkness. If I'm claiming to walk with Jesus and I have someone that I cannot get along with, then I need to question my own conversion experience. Is that too harsh to say that? I don't truly know and understand Jesus if there's someone that I despise, someone that I can barely get along with. That seems like serious words. Because I would imagine for every one of us, there's probably some people we would rather not face up to. I don't have a problem with them as long as they stay in their world and I can be in my world. But when they come face to face with me, there's some feelings that rise up inside my heart. And the Bible that says, if there's feelings in my heart against another person like that, then I'm still walking in darkness. The light didn't truly dawn on me yet. Because this is exactly how I was when God loved me. And when the light starts to shine in our lives, we begin to realize we don't see just the offender, just the one who has hurt us, but we begin to see them as someone that needs the love of Jesus as well. And that's what God calls us to. That's a genuine faith. When I have received forgiveness from God my Father, willingly, and been set free, then that means that God calls on me to turn around and love those who are less than lovely in my own life. So here's how it comes real practical for me. I mean, maybe it's just a little bit of a stretch. But in the news, in our world today, I look at what's happening in Ukraine, and my heart cries out for justice. It is so unjust. It is wrong. There needs to be judgment. There needs to be a penalty. There needs to be something set right. And then I need to check in my own heart. Because I have said things like this to my own shame. Somebody needs to take that guy out. Is that how God feels about Vladimir Putin? That's distant. That's on the other side of the world. But actually, my cry for justice, I immediately realize that God cares deeply about Vladimir Putin. And if Vladimir Putin would fall on his knees in repentance before God, do you think God would forgive him? Do you think Ukraine might forgive him? That's a hard thing to do. When somebody has come and destroyed, senselessly destroyed your country. I think the Ukrainians would have a hard time forgiving. Do you think God would forgive him if he came in sincere repentance? What do you think? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
He would. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if I come to know and understand God's heart, then I can't possibly, as a believer, hold attitudes of revenge or calls for punishment on a man like that. Does that make sense? So that's remote. That's way over there. That's somebody I've never met. But how about the people that live here in Shenandoah? Or what about the people that come here to my church? Or what about the people that live in the same house with me? How important is it to have right relationships with people? Is it okay if I'm holding a grudge? Is it okay if I don't feel like I can be myself in front of somebody else? Like there's tension there? Is God okay with that? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is calling us to be genuine through and through. And it's one thing to say, I love God. But it must then translate into loving people. Because you can't love a God that loves people and hate people at the same time. It doesn't work. God's call to us is to love people. Verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And so that means I have the same attitude that Jesus did. When somebody offends me, when somebody hurts me, when somebody's unkind to me, that I am willing to forgive and to let it go and to write it off and to bear the cost of that myself. Does it mean I become a doormat? Does it mean that I never approach anybody about anything? That I'm just one that somebody can walk over all the time? I'm not sure. I don't think it means that we don't ever confront what is wrong. It doesn't mean you become a doormat, but it does mean you don't have bad attitudes. And you don't let wrong drive God's love out of your heart. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Got any blind eyes? You got any relationships that are painful? You got any people you'd rather not talk to? God calls us to the light. He doesn't want us to stumble around in darkness. He wants our relationships to be free and open. And so I think I'm going to conclude with that tonight. And we're going to sing a song together. Brent, do you have a song ready for us tonight or not? Do you have a song for us tonight to sing for an invitation? You don't. How about it? Do we know Just As I Am? I think that's a very simple song. God wants us to come to Him as we are with our brokenness. And I've said this to people before. I think sometimes we feel like I want to get my life totally in order, all the broken things fixed up, and then I want to come and give my life all patched up to God and say, here I am, I'm pretty good. And actually God specializes in broken stuff. And He wants us to come with all the broken things, and He's the mender, and He's the healer, and He's the one that sets things right. So we're going to sing one verse of Just As I Am. We're coming like we are to God. If you say to yourself, I have a relationship that's not what it should be, I understand that my relationships with people affect my relationship with God, I want to deal with that relationship and get it right. I want it to be in the light. I want to be a forgiver. I want to be healed. I want to walk in the light. There's a relationship in your life that needs mended. You can raise your hand as we sing a song. We can meet with you and talk to you if you need somebody to talk to. If it's something you can take care of by yourself, that's great. But God calls us to live in the light with our human relationships, just like we are in the light with Him. Let's sing a verse of song, Just As I Am.